Welcome to our next lesson, lesson 47 in our Old Testament Bible History series. This lesson, A Promise to Rahab, is from Joshua 1 and 2 and also chapter 6. If you are like most other young people your age, you enjoy being first in a race. You enjoy being done your schoolwork first. If the Lord has blessed you with good reading skills, you probably are at the age where you love reading. Did you know some people are good at speed reading? Their eyes just glance over the words and they quickly gather the information and move on. This is usually a good skill to have. My question to you is, when is it not good to be a really fast reader? I'll give you the answer at the end of the lesson. At the beginning of this story, we need to return to the other side of Jordan again, before the nation of Israel entered the promised land. Let me remind you again that after the death of Moses, God spoke to Joshua and told him to lead the people into the land of Canaan. God had given the whole land to them. God promised to be with Joshua as he had been with Moses, if he would obey God's law. The word quickly goes through the whole camp of Israel. Only 3 more days till they arrive in the promised land. Exciting times! Do you remember the Jordan River from our last lesson? Well, just across the Jordan River was the big city of Jericho, high stone walls around it, and big iron gates that were shut every night so that no enemies could come in. This was the first city that the Israelites would have to conquer. And so Joshua sent 2 spies to Jericho to find out the easiest way to get into the city. The spies managed to get into the city secretly. They walked through the streets, noticing that the walls were very thick and the city was very well defended. Soon, these spies realized that they were getting noticed by the locals, and they entered into a house, which may have been a sort of inn. There, a woman named Rahab met them. She allowed them to stay there and gave them water and food. And for a long time, Rahab, as well as the other Canaanites, had been hearing wonderful stories of the power and the might of the God of the Israelites. She did not wish to try to fight against this God and his people, as the other Canaanites did. Even though she had led a wicked life and been a heathen all her life, there was a deep desire in her heart. That desire was to have this God of Israel for her own God. She had a desire to help the people who belonged to this God. How did this desire get there? It was God himself who gave Rahab this desire to know him. And so, it was God's marvelous providence that the 2 spies came to her house. When the 2 spies came into her house, she took them upstairs to the flat roof of her house and told them to lie down. Then she covered them over with stalks of flax, which was like hay, so that they could not be seen. A few people happened to see the 2 spies come into Jericho and go into Rahab's house. They ran to the king and said in their excitement, "O king, do you know that there are 2 men of the Israelites who came into our city today? They are spies." The king sent in great haste to Rahab, ordering her to bring out those men who had come into her house. She said, "2 men did come in here, but I did not know who they were. They left the city again just before the gates were shut. I do not know where they went, but if you chase after them, you will probably catch them." Rahab was a heathen and probably did not know that it was wrong to tell lies. The messengers left her house, hurrying after the spies. As soon as they had gone out of the gates, the keepers shut the gates so that no other spies could come in. Rahab hurried up to the men on the roof, and she said to the spies hiding there, "I know that the Lord has given you the land. Everyone here is scared of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. We have heard what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites on the other side of the Jordan. We have heard how you completely defeated them. When we heard these things, our hearts melted with fear. Not one of us has any courage left. Please promise me that since I have been kind to you, you will also show me kindness. When you come into Jericho with your army, please show kindness to me and save my father and mother and brothers and sisters and all that we have." The two spies promised not to kill her nor any of her family if she would promise not to tell anyone what they had come for. Now, the city wall was so thick that houses were built on the top of it, or even in it. Rahab lived in one of these homes. Some of her windows were over the wall, looking out into the country. Rahab said to the men, "The gates are shut now, so you can't get out of the city that way. I will let you down out of my window into the open country with this red cord. You can go to the mountains and hide yourselves for 3 days till the men who are hunting for you have come back. Then it will be safe for you to go home." The men in turn said, "When we come here to capture Jericho, you must fasten this bright red cord in your window where we can see it plainly. Bring your father and mother and sisters and brothers into your own house. We promise to save all your family alive, but you must not speak a word to anyone about all this." Rahab then let the men down out of her window into the fields outside the city. They hid in the mountains for 3 days. Afterwards, they went back to Joshua. They announced, "Truly, the Lord has delivered all the land into our hands, for all the people faint with fear because of us." After crossing the Jordan, you heard about that in our last lesson, the camp of the Israelites was very near to the city of Jericho. When the people of the city saw the Israelites coming upon them, they kept the city gates shut and locked both day and night. No one was allowed to go out or come in. If God had not helped the Israelites, they could never have entered the city. But the Lord told Joshua how the people might take the city. Joshua arranged everything as God had commanded. The women and the children stayed in their camp at Gilgal. Only the men went to fight against Jericho. First came thousands of soldiers marching in regular order. Then came seven priests with seven trumpets. Four more priests followed, bearing God's ark on their shoulders. And last of all came thousands of soldiers. This procession marched around the city of Jericho. The priests blew with their trumpets as they went, but the soldiers were perfectly quiet. They did not open their mouths to speak a single word. It took a long time to march all around the big city. When they had done it once, the soldiers went home to their tents for that day. The people of Jericho, who had houses on the wall, had their windows all covered because they were afraid that the Israelites might shoot some arrows through them. But wherever there was a little crack, they looked down to see what the Israelites were doing. They saw the soldiers marching around the city and the seven priests blowing horns. Then they saw them go home to their camp. The next day, upon hearing the trumpets again, they looked through the cracks again. They saw the Israelite soldiers marching around the city. Again, they saw them go home to their camp without attacking the city. For 6 days, this happened. The first time, the people of Jericho had heard the trumpets and had seen the soldiers marching round. They had been terribly frightened. "What are they going to do to us?" they asked. But after it happened for 6 days, they were no longer frightened. They boasted, "Well, if they aren't going to do anything but march around the city, it won't hurt us very much." On the morning of the 7th day, the soldiers started very early. They were going to march around 7 times instead of only once. 6 times they had marched around the big city in perfect silence, except for the blowing of the horns. But this time, the 7th time, all at once, the priests blew a loud, long blast on their horns, and Joshua turned around and threw up his arms and cried, "Shout! The Lord has given you the city." In an instant, every man threw up his arms and shouted as loud as he could. Just at that moment, the walls fell down with a terrible crash. Jericho was open to all the soldiers. The people were so surprised that they could do nothing to save themselves. The soldiers turned and ran right into the city. With their swords and spears, they slew every man, woman, and child, even all the animals. God had commanded them to destroy everything. Only Rahab and her family and all that she had were saved. After that, Rahab lived among the Israelites and worshipped the true God for the rest of her life. Although God had commanded the soldiers not to take any of the things they found in the city, one man, whose name was Achan, saw a very beautiful item of clothing and a pile of silver and a big piece of gold, which he wanted very much. He took them secretly to his tent. There, he dug a hole in the earthen floor of the tent and hid them. He thought no one knew about it. You know the ending to that story already from our last lesson. The soldiers saved all the silver and gold and also the kettles of brass and iron that they found. They brought all these things into the Lord's treasury in the tabernacle, and then they burned the city. The people of Jericho were so wicked that God did not even want their houses saved. Jericho was never allowed to be built up again. After the capture of Jericho, the people saw that God was with Joshua as he had been with Moses. Joshua's fame was spread throughout the country. Was this an interesting story for you? I hope this was more than an interesting story. I hope it was more than a story of history. If I would just tell you the story and then end this video, we would miss the main point. Together, we have to try and connect this story to our own lives now. Telling and listening to the story is nice, but there has to be more. We need to have a personal connection to it. Telling and listening to the story is like speed reading. Speed reading the Bible is not a good way to learn. The point of reading the book of Joshua is not to get it done before everyone else. We need to know how the book of Joshua connects to our own life in order for it to do us any good. This, of course, relies on the blessing of God. What I am explaining to you is the difference between reading the Bible and meditating on the Bible. Reading the Bible well means you can probably retell the story and the main points in your own words. That's good if you can do that. meditating on the Bible means you probably have to read a few verses at a time and read them again, asking the Lord to bless His Word and to teach you by His Spirit. With prayer, ask yourself some questions about what you have just read. What does this verse teach me about myself? What does this verse teach me about God? What do I learn about sin? What do I learn about my need of salvation? How does part of the Bible point to the Lord Jesus? You might not know the answers to all of these questions, but God does, and He is willing to teach you and show you. Ask Him to teach you by His Spirit what His Word means. Did you hear the command to Joshua in chapter 1, verse 8? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. In this story, we also learn who God is. Rahab tells us this in chapter 2, verses 9 through 13. But it is verse 11 that is a really beautiful part of Rahab's speech to these spies. She confesses, "The Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in the earth beneath." God is a sovereign God over the heavens above and the earth below. That includes everything. Heaven and earth are kind of like opposites, and so different and so far apart. Yet the same God is in control of every detail, and nothing escapes His divine attention. God reigns supreme over all. In this story, we also learn what God does. He saves by grace. Rahab was a wicked woman. I am certain that everybody in Jericho knew about Rahab. They heard gossip about her. She had a terrible reputation. And in this story, we learn that there is nobody, no sinner, that cannot be cured by God's almighty grace. We know Rahab was saved by faith because she is only one of two women mentioned in Hebrews 11. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. All of Jericho heard about the wonderful works of the God of Israel. Rahab heard it too. Her neighbors heard it, and so did the king of Jericho. Their hearts melted. Their courage failed. But most did not really believe it would happen to them, not to their strong city. But Rahab did. She believed that these were the works of the one true God. She believed that this God of Israel would also defeat the false gods of Canaan. She placed her trust in Him and showed her faith by hiding the spies. Rahab was reached by God's grace and saved the same way every sinner is saved. She turned from her sinful life and found salvation in God by looking for refuge and safety with Him. In fact, with Rahab's story, we get a wonderful look far into the future, when God's grace would be fully opened to the Gentile nations. This is why today it is possible for you and me to be saved. There is no person whose past sins and history are so terrible that they cannot be reached by God's grace. There's no sin that cannot be forgiven if you, like Rahab, turn to the Lord Jesus for salvation. In this story, we have learned of the salvation of Rahab and the defeat of Jericho. Both of these events happened because people believed that God would do what he had promised. In our next lesson, we will learn what happens to the nation of Israel after the death of Joshua.